Even in seemingly unforsaken, God-forsaken times, God was very much in control, and he still had his special servants on duty. What was the source of Simeon and Anna's faithfulness and patience?
Their faith.
Their faith in God.
In themselves.
What did those two have that not everybody had at that time, but that you have now?
They had the Holy Spirit.
Those two had the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so they were people who were into the Word. I'm sure.
They were what now?
They were into the Word.
Yes.
The written Word.
Yes. Absolutely. And they were seeking God's presence, obviously, right? Anna would stay there day and night. All right, number 10. Simeon was a man who is a model for all of us. How can you be a godly man or woman even in the midst of a wicked and corrupt generation? Mm-hmm. All right, now, talk to each other a little bit.
Read the Bible. Listen.
Numbers 10.
Which number?
Simeon was a man.
10.
He didn't give us. And he had to really know the line and be faithful to pray. To make that kind of a commitment. He was going to be around, I guess, until he saw it. It was like once he heard that, then he was ready to go. And he died after that.
He really did pray. It was like a hard time pray with God. God was really listening to him.
Is it being a living as a godly man or a godly woman? Is it always easy?
No.
And you know, sometimes it can be a struggle, but let's talk now about ways of what you said to each other about your struggle and what you do and what God does for you is actually what's going on to make that possibility. Any comments over here? Nope.
Keep your eyes on God.
All right. Sis said you keep your eyes on God. And that goes back to what we've already been talking about before about coming to church, studying the Word, right? Anybody else?
I think anytime you have the opportunity to share your knowledge with other people about God, you need to. You need to share what you know, and hopefully you can reach those that are struggling as well or either non-believers.
Mm-hmm. And that can be socially risky, can it?
It can be very socially risky, but you know, if you're firm in the Bible and you're firm in your faith and you trust in God, then you just have to ask him to let whatever you say to someone be the right words.
Yes, and dependence on God and not on me. Right, anybody else? All right, Dave. We'll let everybody have their turn, okay?
Well, we have to have faith, but it's just so sad when you talk about a wicked and corrupt generation. I mean, we don't used to have the Ten Commandments on federal buildings, used to say prayer before school.
In school.
Used to pledge allegiance to the flag, you stand up for America, stand up for God, and people don't do it anymore. And I think that's why.
Wicked.
Yeah, I mean, that's just. The devil's got a lot of people, and we're just fortunate to be here because we believe in God. And like I was telling her, attendance in churches are way down, and it's just sad. So we just got to have faith, and Simeon had faith. I mean, good grief, and Anna to stay in the temple her whole life, even though it was bad things going on in the world then, just like it is now. She kept her faith in God, so that's what we got to do.
Don't kid yourself. It's always been a wicked and corrupt generation.
And you know, Sandy, it's. I don't want to pass judgment on anyone, but it starts at home. And you said this a few weeks ago, it starts with the family at home, and it starts with the expectations that adults set for the children. And if the adults do not set the expectations of coming to church and trying to do the right thing and reading the Bible or praying, then, I mean, it's just going to just keep on. I mean, it starts, just like everything else, it starts at home.
That's very right. True.
That's true. Mm-hmm. All right, we have some comments.
Simeon had been given a promise, and he trusted that God would bring that promise to fruition. So in all of these things, we want to be faithful to God and everything, but we do have to trust that it is God's world. And when we think that wickedness is tearing it all apart, it's still God's world. He's still in control.
Yes. Right. Okay.
And also, you know, as Christians, this kind of piggybacks on what Carolyn said, but we know that this world is not the all that there is. We know there's a whole lot more than what we're living in now, and that God is in control, and God's bigger than anything that happens in this world. And he tells us in John 16:33, in this world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And that's a verse that I've really been hanging on to really since the pandemic started, you know, to remind myself that this will end, that God is over it. He is using this for whatever purpose he may have that he hadn't shared with us what that is. But, you know, maybe one day we'll get to know what that purpose is. But right now we just know that he's in charge, and we just have to have faith that he is getting us through this one way or another.
Good. Anybody else? All right, this is thoughts that came to me. Political strife, racial strife, massive drug addiction, which is killing more people right now than COVID. Wow. The myriad of COVID effects, which are like not only just physical death, but child abuse, spousal abuse, depression, suicide. There are all kinds of things that go with COVID that are not just, you know,
right.
Yeah. Then, nor the failure of the church are all powerful. You know, when we complain about the church and how some churches are not preaching the word and all that, you can follow the Lord even in an ungodly workplace, or for that matter, in an ungodly home. If you are filled with the Spirit of God and are seeking His glory in your life, we must follow him, look to him, resist what one writer has called reality, and affirm the truth behind the earthly reality, which is what Arissa was talking about.
Yeah.
The end of such faith, of private and public worship, of reading the word and opening up to your life to what the Spirit is saying, is to walk in the Holy Spirit and to be an instrument of God. When we do, we encounter the fullness of Jesus in our lives, and blessings follow his presence. And when all those things are piling in on you, that's the peace and the hope that passeth understanding in all circumstances. And it just breaks my heart that there are people that don't have that, which is why we need to speak. Even when it's scary or socially risky,
yeah,
while we speak up. Okay. Number 11, Michael A. Milton also says, don't be satisfied with the Christianity that has all the form of religion but denies the power thereof. With respect to the Catholic Universal Church, you know, how well or poorly are we doing in this mission? If you think we could do better, what needs to happen? Right. Do you think we could do better as the church?
We need to invite people, try to invite more people. And
yes. What now is not share, I'm saying this for a friend, okay, I'll just put it that way. But anyway, this person told me that they were at a party and they were talking to somebody and they were having some trouble at their church and everything. And it was like, you know, I don't know why they're being so literal. The Bible is mostly just about, and this is somebody who goes to church, okay? The Bible is mostly stories and you know, it's just if you're being a good person. And what about that? What do we, that is rampant. Rampant, okay? In the church. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, out there in the world. We know that's what we're going to meet from the world. And it just, every time you encounter something like that, it's just like breathtaking to me. And I'm always thinking, what's the point?
Yeah.
You know, go ahead.
As Isaiah said, for all our righteous deeds are filthy rags in his sight.
Yeah. Right. All your service, all your time, anything, you know, even the time I tried to spend doing this lesson, for example, before a holy God, it's flawed. And even filthy rags, you know, unless we have the covering of
Jesus.
It's our only hope, because we as humans are not going to be able to do it. But what is the church, what do you think needs to happen? We need more what? Annas. You say invite them, all right? How are you going to get more Annas and Simeons and revival?
People reading the word and praying.
Get back into the
right. And I challenge myself and you for this upcoming year is let's commit ourselves to prayer for the church universal. Because I honestly believe, for example, I truly believe, and Natalie and I have talked about this so many times, that if we could get together in Christ, we could solve this racial problem we got in this country.
Yeah.
Because you got believer against believer a lot of times. And in Jesus, and in compassion, and in learning who you are, and being truthfully honest about, well, they, but quit worrying about they and worry about me. Where's my word of hope? Why would you want to be with me? You know what I mean? We need to be in Jesus, and I really think that we are in desperate need right now for a revival in the church. And so let's pray for that this year. You know, put that on the prayer list. All right, anybody else have a comment?
I was just gonna say, you know, they talk about in the Old Testament, people get itching ears, and I noticed that a lot of people want to be entertained in church now. They're interested in entertainment and not strictly with the Word of God, and it just goes back to people want to change things and make something new.
Yes, but now wait a second. And I hear that, and I agree with you. That's why one of the reasons I come to this church, because it reminds me of my church in Newberry when I was a little girl.
Wow.
Okay, that's one of the reasons. When I came here, I said, "Thank you, Jesus. I finally found what I'm comfortable with."
Yeah.
Okay. But God is always calling us to sing a new song. He's always calling us out of our comfort zone. You know, the thing is to stay pure to the Word. And I know what you mean. I had a man that went out there. He was dating a friend of ours, and we went out. He says, "I go to church on Sunday. We sing a couple of songs, shake hands." I forget what else he said there. I think they had donuts or something. And I'm sitting there going like, oh, I mean, I'm almost, you know? And that's why he like, and I think he was lonely maybe, you know what I mean? And through that though, he can, the Lord can come to him through that, all of that, I know. But some of those rip snorting churches with all that kind of stuff that just makes me kind of a little bit, let me tell you, they got it going on though. They're meeting somebody's need. We cannot, Jeffy, we cannot, it's so hard not to judge.
Right, yes, you're right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's so hard.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
But my biggest problem is some of these churches don't even speak, they don't even talk about Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I mean, and so it's like, well, hello?
Yeah.
Yeah, if you don't do that, forget it.
Yeah, I mean, that's what Paul says.
Right.
He talks about Jesus Christ and Him crucified, and you don't hear that.
And you're right. If that, I don't care what form it's in, if that's not the basis of it, forget it.
Right.
What promise had the Holy Spirit revealed to Simeon? What promise had He told him? You will not die before you see the what? The Christ.
Wow.
All right. Simeon's song, or the Nunc Dimittis, from the opening words in Latin, begins with verse 29. Who else called herself, which he calls himself a servant of God? Okay? Who else called herself a servant of God and burst forth in praise?
Mary.
Mary calling herself the servant of God is a thematic link. You know, I'm all into the literary aspects of the scripture, and I try not to talk about it too much in here, but there's a thematic link between servant of God from Mary to the Simeon song. Okay. Which would, do you remember what Mary's song was called? The Magnificat. Okay. So they're in our liturgy at different times, both of them. Simeon declares that God is letting His servant depart in peace. What does that mean?
He's going to heaven.
Oh, you're doing the, I thought, Joe, you tricked me again. I thought you were going to talk. Okay, so, all right, that means that He's about to what?
Go to heaven.
He's about to go to heaven. He's going to die. All right. You may not be ready to graduate. You may be. This is 15. You may be ready to graduate. You may be ready to buy your first home. You may be ready to retire. You may be ready to do many things. But how can you prepare to die? All right. Talk a minute to your persons at your table.
Well, we can always prepare as long as you have the realizations.
Because Simeon was ready.
Take any preparation as long as you can.
Okay, there.
This puts you on the spot, doesn't
it? Well, if you're advised to prepare to die, if you are not, you may prepare to die.
that's one way of it.
Yeah.
All right, let's stop now and let's hear some ideas. All right, you know, one of the things, when I wrote that question, I was thinking, do you know it's in the liturgy, it says, or teach us Jesus how to die? That's part of, you know, what we sing. Teach us, Jesus, how to die. All right. Now, anybody have any thoughts? Mm-hmm. No one wants to talk about dying at Christmas, right? I thought about that. Okay.
Well, we have to believe. We have to just keep believing in
His promises. Promise that He has died for us, and if we believe that he has taken on our sins and clothed us in his righteousness, then we're good to move on up.
All right. One thing that I've learned is from years of teaching Bible study is that the real promise, you know, does God promise you that you're going to have a good job if you're a good person?
No.
Well, he promises you're going to have good kids, right?
No.
But you've done all the good stuff. I mean, you've taken them to church, and you made them read the Bible, and you made them go to Sunday school even when they didn't want to. You've done all the stuff, okay? But the only, our hope is that eternal life, right? Mm-hmm. What's going to take that away from you?
No.
And that's usually the scripture that's read at a funeral, neither. Life and, you know, nothing will take you away from the love of God. And any other comments on that? All right, Jesus came to pay the penalty of Simeon's sins and yours. We must turn to him in confession of our sins, repent from them, and surrender to Jesus Christ as the resurrected and living Lord of life. Jesus said, whoever believes in me will not perish, but have eternal life. And that's our hope, that there's something better than the best. Did you have a little foretaste of the feast to come? Can you imagine what the feast is going to be like? The feast that we all have in heaven with the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, all the angels, all those people like Moses, and all that you want to ask all those questions, why'd you do this? And, you know, I don't guess you'll worry about that then, but I like to think that there's a discussion group.
Yeah.
And up in heaven where we'll all be praising God together.
Yeah.
All right. According to the second verse of the psalm, the promise of salvation through Christ is for whom? Now, who is he talking about? Salvation for
everyone.
Right, the Gentiles. All right, not just the Jews, not the salvation of just Israel, but for everyone. Okay. Jesus is to be a light to the Gentiles and a glory for the people of Israel. These are the words from our season of Epiphany. And we're going to talk about our last lesson or two. It's going to be on Epiphany. Christ has appeared as not only the promised one of the Old Testament covenant people, but to every ethnic group, every tribe, and tongue on the face of the earth. No limitation. Finally, Simeon addresses Mary. How was Jesus appointed as the fall and rising of many? Still to this day, why is Jesus and his words in the gospel that's given to him, how does it contribute to the fall and the rising of many?
Some will believe and some won't.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Do what now?
Some will believe and some won't.
Yes.
He's the stumbling stone.
Some right.
Some who don't believe become quite angry about it.
Yeah. Yes. Based on their reaction to Jesus, people will either stand or fall. And there comes a point where that's it. No, well, no excuses. Like we love, boy, we love some excuses, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be either stand or fall. All right, 18. Why is Jesus' message spoken against when he was on earth and even to this day? Why in the world would somebody not want to hear the gospel? All right, ask your partner, then we'll...
It does seem kind of far-fetched.
Yeah, and like they're looking for more of a kingly...
Okay, I hate to cut you short, but it's almost time. I was looking at that clock, and it's almost time for us to leave. That clock's way off. Okay, now, Why, you sit there and you know how freeing the gospel message is. Why do some people not want to hear the gospel?
They don't need it. They're happy. They have money.
Uh-huh.
They're living off worldly things. They don't need God.
They're doing it themselves. Yeah.
They're taking care of themselves. They're self-sufficient. They don't need God. Next.
This might be a little hard, but I think the devil's involved in pulling everybody away you can.
Oh, yeah.
And if you are, and the more faithful you are, the harder he works to pull you away sometimes. But I think he's there working, and he's strong. Jesus is strong.
Yeah.
Don't you know how happy the devil must be that COVID's keeping people from coming to church?
Yeah.
You know, he uses fear, and it's not only fear though, but there are legitimate reasons why people can't come. And then there's some not coming because of fear. There's some coming because they can't come. You know, their doctor told them not to come. It's just, and the thing is, they're not coming. So, anything else? Go ahead, up here. Oh, okay.
I was gonna say, the traditions that they've always, you know, done, and the way they've always worshiped, especially with the Jews, when they were doing everything the way they always have, and this new guy comes along, they just can't, I guess, get it into their mind. They can't comprehend, you know, that it's real.
Right. The pastor was talking about that as part of his sermon this morning. All right, one more up here. You got to run, Joe.
Joe.
Is he?
No. So part of the problem with Jesus was the political elite. And so people in power or people with position, when they encounter the exact opposite, saying, no, really, you're on the bottom, then they're not going to change if they desire power, if that is their God. So I think for me, like, if your God is something other than Jesus, no matter what it is, like, it could be position, power, it could be money, it could be food, drugs, sex, it could be anything, then you're not going to give that up because of whatever reason. In your heart, that's what you desire most.
All right, I'll end with this comment then. There is always a cost to following Christ. If Jesus had offered to improve the quality of people's lives and claimed that he was just one way to heaven, or that sinners would welcome him, all of them would have. You know, here's an easy way out. But Jesus would command repentance and himself as the one and only way to heaven. Unrepentant sinners then and now will not accept that. Because bottom line, that is the message. All right, closing prayer. Father, we thank you that you always leave a remnant of believers, no matter how bleak circumstances may seem. Just as there was a Lot in Sodom, an Obadiah in Ahab's household, a Daniel in Babylon, a Jeremiah in Zedekiah's court, and a Simeon and an Anna at the temple in Jerusalem. Help each of us to be proclaimers of your word and witnesses to our faith wherever we are. Thank you for the gift of your son, the miracle of the incarnation, the willingness of your servants, Mary, Joseph, Simeon, and Anna, and especially for the grace and sure hope of our eternal life that only comes through Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Sandy.